basketball, Jones. I got a basketball, Jones. Got a basketball, Jones. Oh, baby, ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball, Jones.
Our own ever basketball, Jones. Here at Kate Radio. Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, a good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, doing well, Aaron. Beautiful sunshine just popped out here in Albert Lea and looking like it's going to be a pretty nice afternoon.
Got to enjoy the temperatures. It's going to get cold this weekend, if you haven't heard.
Like, I have heard. I'm not looking forward to it.
So if you got some things you want to get done outside, do it this week before the weekend comes. Now, Jonesy, let's start with Albert Lea basketball like we do every week. And I want to get your thoughts on the girls' game on Friday. They got beat by Red Wing by 16, 60-44, I think was the final score. And the first time they faced Red Wing, I think Red Wing might have won by 30-plus, might have been more than that. And it was a pretty close game in the first half with Albert Lea having the lead early. And even though they lost to a team that is ranked 8th in state, it sounds like a pretty good effort by the Albert Lea girls basketball team on Friday.
Yeah, very pleased with what I saw out there. I think we might have even had the lead at half or very close to half. And what happened there is they came out, Red Wing came out with a full court press, basically a 1-2-2 like so many coaches do. And we just didn't match up real well against it. And we turned the ball over. We didn't turn it over for layups like the 1-2-2 is designed to. We turned it over on our bad passes against the 1-2-2, more in the midcourt area. They took advantage of that, getting their offense quickly down court for layups and just for easy shots. And we just didn't have the depth either. We basically play about 6 or 7 girls, and one of our girls is out, still Liz Wallace, with a concussion protocol. And so, unfortunately, it was just too much to handle with a good, solid Red Wing team.
Now, who's out with that concussion?
Junior Elizabeth Wallace. She hit her head in a, I believe it was in a, she plays one half of the JV. I believe it was in a JV game here. Nobody really saw it happen. And then all of a sudden we saw her not playing, and then we realized she must have had her, I looked down her and she pointed up at her head, and she had cracked her head here about a week or so ago. And with a concussion protocol, I talked to her last week, or actually talked to her last night over in Austin at the boys game. And she has a test again Wednesday of this week to see if she can come back. So hopefully she gets back and can go over to Worthington Thursday night with the girls and play at home Friday with the girls.
Yeah, girls having a tough game tonight at Rochester Mayo. They're 13th ranked in Class 4A, unbeaten in the Big Nine Conference at 11-0. The boys team, you were giving me score updates during our broadcast last night. It sounds like they kind of kept, close with Austin. They lose by a dozen, 83-71. TJ Collins, 29 points. Paul Wall with 20. Their top two scorers leading the way. But the updates I was getting, we know that Austin's a very good team, and it sounds like for the most part we were able to maybe at least be an arm's length to them throughout the game.
Oh, absolutely. And what's interesting about the game, Aaron, first of all, it was played in the Packer gym, and it was, I would say, 80% maybe full on both sides. So you had a really nice turnout from Albert Lea. The girls' basketball team pretty much was all there, and the girls' basketball team from Austin was there. They didn't have games last night. So that brought in some extra numbers. And Austin put on an absolutely amazing pregame dunking show, and the officials weren't on the floor with alley-oops. And it brought everybody like, whoa, look what's going on here. So you're thinking, this is a good game. They're going to come in. They got a solid squad over there. And they had rolled us pretty good in the JV game. And they went off to a pretty good start. And in the past, Nancy and I were talking about this after the game. In the past, so often when Austin's done that with their quality teams, that we rolled over and played dead. And we did not do that last night. And Teddy basically just took the team on his shoulders, I thought, and was hitting threes left and right, keeping us in the ball game. Paul Wall was penetrating, getting some baskets, hit a couple threes. But it just wasn't enough, and Austin ended up getting the win. But it was exciting. It reminded me of the atmosphere, even going back into the 1970s, of watching Albert Lea basketball against the Packers in the old gym. And it was just a great atmosphere. Tough loss, but nothing or not a game you're going to hang your head down. I thought we played very well.
83-71 loss to the Packers last night. And we should mention, like you said, before the game, so the Austin team was putting on a little dunk show for the crowd, which in warmups, you're not supposed to do that because the officials can give you, is it a T to start the game?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a technical. And the officials always go in the locker room for about 10 minutes at half, or before, between games, between JV and varsity. But they were doing alley-oop dunks, and there was about 6 or 7 youth basketball players underneath the basket that were just going nuts. And I have to say, as a fan, I kind of hollered out there, let me see you hit a 22-foot jump shot with somebody in your face. You can dunk all you want, but it's still 2 points, and you got to be able to play a lot more than just that. And the Packers, very athletic. I mean, their JV team was just a solid team, too, of 6'2", 6'3", ball players, and guys that could shoot a lot of threes and played the game very, very well. And Jamal Gibson, their new coach, too. It was definitely a different page in the Austin book to see not a full court, a three-quarter court, I guess, in Chris Fadness's day, full court press. It was just a tenacious man-to-man defense once Albert Lee got the ball into the front court. So I had heard that was going to be the case with Coach Gibson this year, and I got to see it last night.
Again, Albert Lee gets beat in boys basketball, 83-71. Tigers did snap a 5-game losing streak on Friday in Red Wing, a game you heard on Kaint Radio, 59-51 victory. T.J. Collins Jr. had a big night in that game. And, you know, both teams struggled shooting, and that was a tough fought battle. And what we do have to mention, your son Spencer had some good minutes off the bench, rebounding, very good on the boards to help in that victory.
Yeah, I had my phone on watching the game, and I had you on my earphone, on my Walkman, as you noted, listening to the game. But unfortunately, they were about, 45 seconds difference, if that. So I really couldn't watch one and listen to you at the same time. So it was fun to watch Spencer get some playing time. He's had some good numbers on the JV team this year. And so when we got in foul trouble, he went in and actually played some point guard when Jack Skinnis was in foul trouble. And I thought from what I heard and what Coach Cates told me the next day that Spencer had a very good game. So I was very happy about that. It was kind of interesting, too, that same night. And I'm not wanting to put a chip on the Jones shoulder. My daughter got the player of the game. Well, it's only 23 points in that night against Red Wing. But she talked about the intensity and the play that the Tiger girls did. And she got the player of the game for her intensity. And I think that rubbed the rest of the team and Alexis's effort certainly showed in that closer game against Red Wing.
I assume you'll be out at the boys' basketball game tonight. Tigers hosting Mayo. Are you doing some officiating in an earlier game?
Yep, I've got the 4:30 game. Looking forward to doing that. Former Albert Lee girls' soccer coach. I don't know if he's still the girls' soccer coach. I think Amy Ravenhorst is now, but Dave Stewart is going to be officiating with me, so I look forward to going out there, and I haven't had him for a partner this year other than a youth traveling tournament. So I'll tell you tonight, every team in the area, Aaron, you hear about the official shortages, and Holly Dahl from the athletic office called me and said, Tom, I can't find anybody of our list to officiate with you on Tuesday because we do a 4:30 game with the B squad, and then at 6 o'clock is a ninth grade followed by ninth grade B game. So we have two guys, or 5:30, I'm not sure what time that game starts, but we have two guys that are over there, two guys with me, or another guy with me, I should say. And we had to go through, I couldn't tell you how many calls I had to make of my own group listing of people. And so you got to appreciate these officials out there because we are so short. It's just amazing. And Scott Knoble over in Austin, he's their assigner. He does a lot of work for smaller schools, Blooming Prairie and Lyle Pacelli, different area schools to find under officials like me. And he had all his crew out too. So, you know, I want to say appreciate your officials. I don't care what sport it is.
No, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. I was watching a story online. It was out of Fargo, but it had to do with an incident, I believe, in Detroit Lakes, where there were some unruly fans. And the cops had to come, and the cop was telling the story that he even said to the parents he had a call at the same time that there was someone in town that wasn't breathing, unresponsive. and even said, I got to run, but I shouldn't have to come down here to take care of you guys because you can't act like adults in the stands. And they're explaining how bad it is when it comes to sometimes with fans, especially at youth tournaments. Have you ever experienced unruly fans when it comes to youth tournaments? I know there's tons of them up in the cities, Saturdays and Sundays. There's basketball and hockey to be found pretty much everywhere. Have you ever ran into that kind of situation where you've had to deal with a fan that maybe should have got the heave-ho and said, hey, just go out in the parking lot and complain out there?
You know, it's been a while. I officiated a Rochester tournament, I'm going to say 10, 15 years ago, and I was with a varsity official named Jerry Perry, and he's a lawyer over in Rochester. And we had a coach that got kind of out of control, and Jerry, the veteran he was, he just blew his whistle, teed him up, and said, you're done, and sent him out. But, you know, Aaron, I'm fortunate. I'm 37 years into officiating. Last night I did a game down in Lyle Pacelli against St. Mary's of Owatonna. And St. Mary's of Owatonna has a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade hoops program. And I was very impressed. They had two guards that are going to be the real deal for Owatonna. But I'm walking out of the gym. I was heading up to Austin to watch my son. And I heard a guy behind me, ref, ref, ref. And I'm like, oh, what's going on here? And I turn around. And he comes walking right up to me and shakes my hand and says, I can't tell you how much of a great game you called out there. And I want to thank you very much. It just made me feel so good because, you know, I leave work early to get on there, and you don't make a lot of money doing one game, obviously.
Correct, yeah.
And drive half hour each way. But you're doing it for the kids, in this case, like yesterday. We had that Saturday, too. John Yost and I were up in Blooming Prairie, and we had we did 9 games up there on Saturday. And had an older – I would say older. I forget I'm 60 years old, but – he's probably actually younger than me, but he came up and told both John and I, boy, you guys are just the best I've seen. And those are the things that make you really happy that you're out there doing it on a Saturday. These are things I could be doing, but I love being out there for the kids. I love it when I can watch my own kids, and I love having this basketball show that we talk hoops on Tuesdays too, Aaron. But no, to answer your question, not very often, but I know, like, and again, talking to John Yost, he said they had a game up in, I think it's Shakopee or somewhere's got a new court up there where there's like 7-8 courts going at once. And they had an all-out game with 8th grade, and they were really just getting after it. And he said, those games aren't fun compared to what we do down here. We do a lot of stuff up in Blooming Prairie, and we really love going up there. If you ever get a chance, go to a Blooming Prairie game. They've got such a great atmosphere, and we love being asked to come up there.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Like Tom said, appreciate the officials, appreciate the referees. I was watching my niece play 3rd grade girls basketball on Saturday, and there was a parent by us that a few times, that was traveling. She stepped out on the line, and I'm like, it's 3rd grade girls basketball. Sir, just be quiet.
No, we call it age-appropriate officiating.
Correct.
And when you're doing it like that, there's stuff you're not going to call, and it's a learning process. We can call, even last night, I was handing a ball in off a timeout at a made basket, and I looked at the boy from St. Mary's. I said, you can run the baseline with a press coming on. He looked at me like he had no idea what I was saying, and that's one of the things that, like, the gentleman that came up to me after the game, because I'm explaining things like that as the game goes, and that young man didn't have any idea what I was talking about. And so you sometimes, like, we'll have a ball that, here's a great one for the fans listening. A ball that goes off a leg unintentionally is not a kick. The rule book says in order to be a kick, it has to be an intentional put out of the leg or an intentional kick. And so I'll see so often we'll hear parents kick, 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 even coaches kick, kick. And I'm like, guys, it's got to be intentional. It's not an intentional kick. And that's the one I think I see most misinterpreted by fans in the crowd. And I think a lot of times too, when I tell them that, they're kind of surprised that they don't know that rule. But for the most part, everything's pretty good.
Maybe when you go into a game, there should be a link posted at the door that you can download, like a rule book, like a simple rule book. So that way, you know, some of the basic rules. Just that would make everybody's life easier.
One of those little things you scan onto your phone. That would be kind of nice. But maybe you and I should go together and invent that, Aaron.
Shh. We can make money off of that. Don't tell anybody.
We could.
Copyright. Copyright by Jonesy and Worm right here on Kate Radio. Jonesy, before I let you go, I do have to mention this with the Minnesota Twins, and I guess, you know, maybe this was a kind of a surprise. Michael A. Taylor is now a member of the Minnesota Twins. He's a Gold Glove center fielder. Now, remind me, when it comes to our outfield, now Gallo's going to play right. Buxton's going to play center. Who's our left fielder?
You could probably – Kepler is going to be out there if he doesn't get traded. Kirilov, but I think Kirilov's going to be first base. So that I think that's your two other options. And I was reading online some different sites that were thinking maybe the Twins would trade one of the Kirilov or Kepler and go from there. But interesting when I saw that today, and I think he's going to be a fourth outfielder for the Twins. He puts a lot of speed out there, which is kind of nice. And with Byron Buxton seeming to not be able to play more than about 100 games a season, I think that was a nice addition. I don't know what he signed for, but I was very pleased to see that. Talking Twins too, Aaron. Tomorrow night, Neil Pearson, my buddy Brad Bierke, and I are heading to Mankato for the Twins caravan. Got a nice lineup up there. But interesting, we found out yesterday that now that he's in the Hall of Fame, they're not apparently going to have Harmon Killebrew, Tony Oliva signing any autographs at the open autograph station, which you've been there before and
yep.
Know how they set that up. But it's a nice lineup. Caleb Fieldbar is going to be there. Ryan Jeffers, Dick Bremer, one of the Justin Myrtle. And so it'll be still a fun thing. Winter caravan. I think they're going to Music Man Square down in Mason City that your station down there is working with them on. And we're looking forward to that. And days like today, you kind of have baseball fever.
So Tony can't sign anymore, even though Tony was...
He's not signing there.
Okay.
On the caravan. And,
so now that you're a Hall of Fame guy, is there like a copyright? Does the Hall of Fame now own his autograph? Because obviously, Jonesy, you would probably ask him to sign it, Tony Oliva, HOF, right?
Right. Everybody, of course, would. And it's unfortunately becoming such a secondary market on autographs and Hall of Famers that's probably why they're doing it. Not only that, but I think a lot of people would try to bring two or three things and you're not going to be able to get through a big crowd like they have at the Cato Ballroom for that to be able to get everybody that wants to get an autograph of one of the players or the kid. You know, it's for the kids. And us, I want to say us, that I'm not a collector. I don't sell stuff very much, but I'm more of a collector, throw it in a binder. It's fun to look at, and that's about it. But, yeah, we heard that yesterday. So a little interesting little sidebar for that. But that's not going to keep me from going by any means. I'm anxious for baseball. And I know the Moondogs have a set up there, and I'm anxious for their season to start. I'm going to maybe look into buying a little season ticket package there this year. So, Twins baseball this week, Twins Fest this weekend up in the city. So there's a lot going on.
Jonesy, I know you like stats. Here's a stat for you before I let you go. Defensive runs saved since 2020. Defensive runs saved since 2020. The top three guys when it comes to outfielders, Byron Buxton is tied with two other guys with 29, along with Mookie Betts and Kyle Tucker. Number two is Joey Gallo, and number one is Michael A. Taylor.
Wow.
So there's some arms in the outfield for the Minnesota Twins.
That's a great stat. I would have never had known that. And I know I've read Gallo is an off-field, probably not that great of a hitter, 199, I think, last year or whatever it was. But, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty solid outfield. You pick up a pitcher from Florida that we haven't talked really about. And I think that now we're starting to have some excitement for this team. Talking about that trade, just a quick note there too, Aaron. And I had texted this to you that the second big name, I think his name is Salas, started out the season at Jupiter, Florida. He got called up to the Beloit Snappers in the Midwest High A Class League of Baseball. When he got there, it was Jake Thompson from Albert Lea was the one that was one of the guys that filled his spot there. And talking to Jake Stan, he thought that Salas was a real, real solid ball player that the Twins got, even though he's only going to be probably at Cedar Rapids this year would be my guess for the Twins, but we'll see.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, send me updates from the high school tonight when you get a chance, and we'll talk next week.
Hey, sounds great, Aaron. Sure will. Hey, everybody have a great week, and I appreciate being on the air.